Hey, it's Dylan here. Did you know that you can watch the entire interview online? The videos are at watch.hadwm.com. Enjoy this episode.
Have a drink with me. Hey!
Welcome to Have a Drink with Me. I am your host, Dylan Polniak, and joining me today is writer and comedian, Erica Rankin. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim McGovern suggested you.
Good old Tim. Yeah, yeah. I just listened to his episode. Didn't know he was a 90 Day Fiancé fan. Love that. I almost wanted to discuss Fuckboy Island with you, but I didn't know if you had seen that one yet. But now that I know that you like 90 Day Fiancé, you might.
Yes, my wife is a huge fan of those dating shows. So I've seen all of them, kind of like sitting there being on my phone, but not necessarily like, I don't know any of the characters' names. I just know that it's like everyone who's like, oh, I'm a good boy, is always like an asshole. And like the guys, and then you can always tell the fuck boys because they're like, yo, look at this girl, yo. And it's we know
honestly,
you're not a good guy.
Yeah, even the guys, and there was one guy who like came on there and was like, you have to reveal when you get thrown off. And he was like, he was French, I think. And he was like, I'm a good boy. And then the producers and everything were like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, this guy like definitely rehearsed as a bad guy, like gave us so many instances in which he was like truly a awful person to women. Mm-hmm. Like, what is he doing? And he just like wouldn't admit it. And I was like, wow, there's some really crazy psychology going on in these men's heads. And, you know, like, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that some of them aren't murderers, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
it really just goes into that true crime thing that I love. I was like, what sort of psycho are we dealing with here?
Mm-hmm. And that's our topic of discussion for today for listeners
and
viewers.
That is our topic.
We are getting into true crime. But before we get into that, Erica, you've selected a drink for us today.
I have, yes. I'm going to go with sangria. It's actually like a bastardized version of sangria because it's really just Beaujolais. Got some Canada Dry ginger ale and a little squeeze of lime. We made this up during the pandemic because we were desperate.
I feel like quarantine and everything was like the most creative everyone's been able to be in such a long time of just like you're forced...
Yes.
Into this world of, well, I've got gin laying around in like milk. Like you kind of like try to figure out what's the best way to make a cocktail. What's going to taste good? What isn't? And so I haven't had enough sangria in my life to comment how this is compared to sangria. But I will say
that
I do enjoy this. This is very good.
Do you? Okay, good. Yeah. I was telling my parents about the recipe yesterday, and they both were just like so disgusted. But they love sangria. My family, my mom's side of the family is like from Spain and whatnot. So I've had sangria in my life for a very long time. But I just one day didn't feel like chopping up fruit, and we had ginger ale. So. What, gin and milk? Is that a thing?
I was just throwing around random ingredients that I think just had. I feel like gin is always the alcohol that people have left over because nobody likes gin. No one truly likes gin. So it's like you own a bottle of gin, it's because someone left it at your house from a party. That is I feel like that is the case. And if you say
that
I'm wrong, you're okay, good. Because if you're going to say that I was wrong, that you paid for your gin, then you were misremembering. And that's what everyone just kind of had laying around for the pandemic, left over from beginning of 2020.
I will order a gin and tonic. Mm-hmm. I will order a gin and tonic sometimes. But not in the last 2 years, I guess, because I haven't really been going to bars. And have you been out to a bar yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my wife and I did a 13-state road trip last year in 10 days. So we went to a lot of bars. But in L.A. Okay. Oh, yeah. In L.A. Yeah. I've been to plenty of bars, but we're vaccinated. We wear masks everywhere.
We've been going to like have dinner and drinks at places, but I don't know if I've just like just gone to a bar just to like grab some hard liquor and like hang out. But I'm not really a hard liquor person, to be honest.
Gotcha. Just wine and ginger ale.
Yeah, those two things. Mostly just wine. And not really even until like the last couple of years. But yeah, throughout quarantine, I think it was like an every night sort of thing, definitely for a while there. That had to be stopped for reasons. For reasons. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, that was one of the big things. So Tim McGovern, we were talking about him. So when all of this happened, his wife and he and his wife got like furloughed from work for like a week the same time I did. So we went in, the four of us, my wife joined us. We rented out a house and like, it was just like, okay, we're just gonna drink and stay in this house in Arizona. And
yeah, I like, heard that. That was, oh, wait, that's
I have to keep drinking. Like, that's like the thing you have to learn. You have to learn when to start being productive during a pandemic and when to stop enjoying being in a pandemic, I guess.
Right. Yeah. There were some people who I was just like, hey, like you need to like stop trying to be productive. Like you're going to hurt yourself. I mean, I guess there's like Bo Burnham who actually came up with like real genuine art during all this. I did not. I like sort of tried to get into, I tried to open, oh God, this is embarrassing. I actually haven't told anyone this, but I started an ASMR channel on YouTube. Oh. It is since defunct. Because I got creeped out by like people making requests and stuff. I just started feeling like, oh, this is something else for some people. So I stopped.
So was it requests of like, can you say this? Or like, can you bite into a carrot or something? Was it like, what were the requests for this?
It was a very specific thing. And actually, I probably could have kept going and it wasn't really that creepy, but I get creeped out by things like super easy on the internet. It was, they wanted to hear tearing of paper. And then I just started like, I never watch like tearing paper ASMRs, but then I just started Googling it. And all of these women were just like, okay, I've been asked to do this. So I'm doing it. It was always a request. And I was just like, I don't know. I feel like there's something weird going on there. But it is actually a very pleasing sound. If you do it right. And that one sort of like blew up and I was like, okay, no, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore.
But when the ASMR was a huge thing that we got during the pandemic too, I feel like that's when people were like, oh, I need to be soothed. And I find myself like I do graphic design, illustration, woodworking, everything. So like,
oh, cool.
I find myself watching hours of YouTube videos of like, here's how this guy made this table and made the perfect mixture of resin and whatever. But it's like the sound of him like, shh, 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 like sanding the wood and stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm trapped. I didn't even mean to do this. It's just, I guess I love ASMR.
I mean, I think everyone does. My brother even like, no. My brother talks about loving it too. And my parents are like, what's with y'all?
Yeah, it's just such an odd thing. I will say, people who request ASMR videos are going to lead into our topic perfectly, which is true crime.
True crime, yes. Weirdos, so, no.
Yeah. People requesting paper ripping videos are the people that you hear about in true crime stories, for sure.
Yes, they're on their way to becoming something. Do you watch true crime? You don't, right? Just your wife.
My wife watches it, but we spend almost all of our time together. So I'll watch it while working on something else. So if I'm like editing something in Photoshop, you know, I'll be on the couch and she'll watch it. So I'll like catch certain parts of it. And it's like, if someone is like stands out, I'll like kind of make fun of it a little bit. And I'll be like, what's their problem? And she's like, shut up. They're in this story. Like, this is what's going on. So it's very much outside looking in, but I get the love for it.
Okay.
Do you have one that like got you started with it?
Well, you know, I was trying to think about that. My uncle was actually died under very mysterious circumstances. That's kind of a bummer story though, so I won't do that on this lovely podcast, but it was basically like a Black Widow sort of situation and it was never resolved because you couldn't really like, you couldn't really explain it. I was not very close with my uncle, but it was like a very weird experience. And then when the advent of Netflix being on your computer came around, they like had all those ID Discovery Forensic Files shows on there. And I would just delve into those. And me and my husband are very different in that, like, nothing is too dark for me. Like, I can barely watch like fictionalized crime shows though. And I don't know why, but I'm just like, no, I prefer the realness, which is gross. But I don't know what it is. I fall asleep to it. I fall asleep to podcasts. my husband comes home from work and will turn on Netflix and he'll be like, oh, great. Women Who Kill. Cool. Is this what you've been watching while I'm gone? Like, what are you trying to do to me? But yeah, I just, it's almost like the anxiety of it cures my own anxiety. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Like, I think it makes sense. Like, I'm with you on that. I think that a lot of people watch it because it's just, I think that the weird thing of it being something that's real versus something that's fiction is that you can get more invested in the story of like, shit, this happened to someone, versus if you're watching a true crime, like a fake true crime, you're like, why didn't the idiot leave? Huh? Really? You didn't lock your door? And there's like, I think there's that sense of like knowing that this is something real and it is something that people go through is more of like a soothing, not soothing, because I believe soothing is the wrong word for these victims.
Not the right word.
But it's very much like you can be more invested in it, and it can be more, better than watching something that's fake where it's like, well, come on, asshole. Like, obviously, like, you deserve to die. Like, that's like the huge difference here. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's just like, yeah. And I mean, I think I grew up liking mysteries. My grandmother was a big like Agatha Christie fan and whatnot. So it feels pretty ingrained. But I mean, I also think it's kind of a gendered thing, weirdly. Like, it is women a lot of the time who are really into it. And I'm wondering if that's, you know, maybe because women are afraid of being murdered. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that could be it.
Yeah, it could be it. That's why I like true crime. I think that the anxiety thing, like, have you ever heard the fact that like, people who are anxious are better at being like, who have like genuine anxiety are better at being like, EMTs or just in situations where it's high stakes, they're actually better and more calm than people who don't deal with anxiety, like on a daily basis. You ever heard that?
Oh, it's interesting. I haven't heard that, but I can see why. It's like you need that situation where you're like, cool, I know what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right. Yeah. And so that's me in true crime. And I hear it and then they're like, you know, this woman is being brutally murdered. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to fall asleep. No, I'm
kidding. Oh, finally. Bedtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally. Bedtime. I realized that my Spotify, like, not many people follow me on Spotify, like kind of just some random people, but I realized that my listening people could see, and they could see what I was listening to. And like 3 nights in a row, I could not get through this podcast about this like terrible murderer. So I kept putting it on every night. And then I was like, oh my God, people are going to think that I just every night need to hear about Israel Keyes, like murdering all these people. So I was like, okay, I gotta remember to put that on Don't Show on
That's really funny.
Spotify. So, yeah.
I actually had a question that I think is going to go perfect with what you just said. And it's, what have you seen a true crime, not necessarily this one that you couldn't get through, but has there been a true crime that you've watched or listen to that went unsolved, but you feel like you understand what happened and you could like, you've got the evidence, you could totally solve this?
God. Oh my God. I don't know. See, there are so many people on the internet who are so much more into this than me. Like the like, what do they call, armchair detective or the internet detectives? They're like already so ahead of me. So I don't really think that I personally have figured anything out. But there are, I mean, there's, I was talking about to Austin, my husband, about JonBenet Ramsey the other day. Do mm-hmm. you know who they think did that or?
I don't know. I know the story, but I don't know right. who they think did it.
So I think if you're into true crime, you probably know by now that the brother did it and it was an accident because he was like really young at the time. So, you know, I have those where I'm just like, yeah, I know what happened, but
I knew that.
But yeah, I'm not as into it as some people who are like on Reddit all the time. Like there's this recent case about this girl, Gabby Petito, who went missing and she was doing a van life trip mm-hmm. with her fiance. And then he came home with the van and not her and lawyered up and everything. I just went on the like Reddit because I only just got into like going onto Reddit recently and I immediately mm-hmm. had to like walk right out. It's like that Simpsons meme where grandpa goes into the like nudie house and then has to turn right. right back around because I was like, oh no, this is dark. I can't be here. Because it's a lot. I mean, people get into it, man.
I mean, the whole Lisa Lam story, that was a huge true crime thing over the last like year and a half. I actually got into that one because my friend Kyle, Tim McGovern and my friend mm-hmm. Kyle, he lived in the apartment complex across the street from where this happened. And you can see the water tanks from his rooftop. So we were playing like Dungeons and Dragons.
They live right by the Cecil?
He did. He moved though. But we could see the water tanks directly from his rooftop. And he told me the story. And then I watched the YouTube video of her in the elevator. And then we ended up watching the whole thing. And people are trying to figure it out. Like, oh, it was foul play. But it's like, no, she went off her meds and this will happen if you go off your meds. So
That one. I remember when that video came out, cause I was living in Los Angeles and someone was just like, do you want to see the scariest thing ever? And I was like, that one was very interesting. That documentary was also interesting. The lady who manages that hotel and just like the cognitive dissonance that she has to just I'm doing this right. Like I'm running this hotel right. And it's like, I'm not sure that you are. If there are this many murders.
Like, exactly. She's like, people would die and there was a lot of drug use, but yeah, I was doing one hell of a job. Okay. She's clearly, she's trying to get hired somewhere. That's like, she was like in her business outfit sitting all proper the whole time. And like, well, yes, there were murders, but I made sure that they were cleaned up and solved.
Yeah.
Just very
cleaned up. I don't know about solved, but definitely cleaned up.
Yeah. We're not looking for the murderers. We want clean carpets.
Yeah. Clean carpets as best we can do. But yeah, that's another thing I like about true crime, especially like old true crime, like the ID channel stuff is just the people that they interview and their hairstyles and how dated they still are. Like you can go back and watch the original, what were those called? Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
Just the best. There's a whole Instagram account, I think, just for the names of those people and just like their like title card and how crazy their 80s hair looks.
Oh, that's awesome. I remember watching that when I was younger. And maybe that's why I don't like true crime, because my dad would always watch Unsolved Mysteries with John Walsh, but I would think while watching it is like, they're still out there. Like they're going to get me. I didn't do anything, but they're going to drown their kid. They have no problem drowning me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really love the Unsolved Mysteries or the cold case ones. Not because I'm scared really, but just because I don't like non-resolution.
You don't get the satisfaction of knowing who done it.
And that's why things like when the Golden State Killer was apprehended after like however many years of just terrorizing people, like that was that was definitely the meme of, you know, the little boy playing a tuba into the little girl's face or whatever. Have you seen that picture? And I just, anybody who wanted to talk about it, I was like, have you heard? Did you know? Through genes, they just caught this guy and he stopped one day. Like, I don't know. It's just crazy to me. I shouldn't say this on a podcast, putting myself in the killer's shoes, but like,
I it love is to sort put of this myself thing in where the
you're killer's like, shoes. I love putting myself in, but you're just like, how crazy. I'm just so not that I just putting myself in their shoes. I'm like, I can't even.
Yeah.
And that's good. Yeah. I think that's good.
How
do you as a man feel that way?
I do have this question for you that I wrote down before we started, and it was, hey, Erica, let's say you were going to kill someone. Do you think you've learned enough from true crime podcasts and TV shows to get away with it? It's on the record, but it's off the record. So if you get arrested for anything, this doesn't count as evidence.
Okay. I really do think that, I mean, I guess it does happen, but nowadays just with everything that they have to be able to track you, like even when you, like, believe me, I have learned a lot.
How to kill someone. Yeah.
So, actually there was that, I was thinking about that the other day. There was that podcast, I think it was called Dirty John, about this guy.
Ooh,
you ever heard of Dirty John?
Listen to the whole podcast.
Yeah. And well, this is spoiler alerts for anyone who's not heard it. But basically the way that he gets stopped, skip ahead if you don't want to know. But the way he gets stopped is the daughter of the woman he was terrorizing. Basically, he comes after her. And what she says is in like the most banal way, she's like, well, I just really watched a lot of like zombie shows and Walking Dead. So like, I would imagine like how to kill someone. And so I did. And I was like, what? you what? Do you remember?
Cause he's trying to kill her in a parking lot, like outside of her apartment or something. And they're both like stabbing each other.
Yeah.
And then she finally kills him.
And she kills him. And like this, like 13-year-old girl or whatever. And she says the reason she was able to do it was because in her mind's eye, she had like thought about how she would do this. I was like, damn.
I just love that she's like a valley girl too. She's just like,
yeah.
So like I saw him coming at me and I just knew what to do. And they cast it. I don't know if you've seen Dirty John, that they made the show with Eric Bana, but have you seen Ozark?
Ooh. I've watched a little bit of Ozark. Yeah. I know who Eric Bana is.
So the curly haired girl, the blonde curly haired girl from Ozark.
Yes. I know who that
plays that girl in the Dirty John show.
Oh my God. I bet she would be amazing.
It's perfect casting.
That's really good. I do have to watch that. What is that on?
I want to say Bravo, but that might just be me being a man saying like, that's one of those girl channels, right?
Bravo? That doesn't feel right. But yeah, that's that seems like what your wife has been tuned into Bravo a lot, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, we decided to watch that. Oh, wait, Dear John. I typed in Dear John. I was like, wait, it's not on NBC. Dirty John was the show.
Dirty John.
Yeah, it was on, I hope I'm right with this.
I hope you are too.
Bravo. Son of a bitch, I did it. It was on Bravo.
You did it. You did it.
I'm not one of those guys from the true crime shows.
Right. Yes. If you watch Bravo, there's no way. Yeah. So
you said that you will know how to kill someone from watching this. But obviously, like,
I don't know.
You love the show, but would you say that true crime has made you like more cautious towards certain things or more prepared for certain things? Like with the Dirty John character, you know, she knows how to kill someone. So is there anything that sticks out?
Definitely. I am so glad that I have a cat. I know that most people say, like, you need a dog and everything. But, you know, I think there was a case where a woman was literally just going out and doing her laundry at her apartment building. And she left her apartment unlocked. Somebody came in, assaulted her, killed her, blah, blah, blah. And I think this was like one of the first episodes of My Favorite Murder. And Georgia was like, yeah, I know if a person's in my house because my cat is nowhere to be found. And I feel the exact same way. Like, yeah, a dog can like bark and, you know, stop them. But like, if I leave and the cat's on the couch and I come back and he's gone, there's somebody in the house. I know it, because he will run away no matter what. So he won't save me, but he will alert me to things.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Stephen Ray Morris for My Favorite Murderer.
I know. I saw that you love had that him guy. And I was like, oh, really? Do you know him personally? Are we
I would say I know him personally. Like, we've hung out and he did a few episodes of my podcast, and I did his most recent podcast, Everything But the Movies, which is a Star Wars book club podcast. But yeah. I have this as a note as well, which is perfect. So you love My Favorite Murder. Do you have a favorite murderer?
God.
I know. I'm sure you've been asked this so many times.
A favorite murderer. Mm-hmm. I mean, Robert Durst, just for the sheer, like, befuddlery. That whole thing where, like, he just goes to the bathroom and he's just like, killed them all, of course. And you're like, what? Who even, like, you are just obviously the most evil. Like, do you really exist in this world? And the burping, like, are you kidding me? I just find that so interesting. I find the psychology of these things very interesting. I also think a lot about John List. Do you know who that is?
I don't know John List. Do you think about him often, you said?
I mean, it just scares me, too. Like, ask your wife about this. He was a family annihilator, which means he killed his whole family. And then he just picked up and changed his whole life, got a whole new, name, driver's license, and, you know, I guess a fake social security, and started a whole nother family. And to me, I'm just like, God, she did his wife not like know? Did she see the signs? Like, I find myself putting myself in the victim's shoes quite a bit in these situations. But
well, you said earlier that you put yourself in the murderer's shoes fairly often as well. So, but good, you're even with it. You're even.
I mean, no, I want to say that I am more thinking about the victims, but man, like, come on, like, how crazy do you have to be? And the whole thing is like, he had a lot of debt. So some people think that maybe it was, you know, the debt that drove him to do it. But then there's this like one little fact at the end where he was living in this mansion basically, but had, you know, spent all the money. But there was a Tiffany's ceiling, like a stained glass ceiling by Tiffany, the blue box Tiffany's, breakfast at Tiffany's. And it was like the amount that it was worth was exactly the amount that he was in debt. So he could have just sold that thing and been out of debt. But no, he decided to murder his two daughters, murder his son, murder his wife, go get like a mustache and change his glasses and blah, 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 and like get a whole new family. It's just like, dude, okay. So it wasn't the money, I guess.
Yeah, that's nuts. It's like my wife and I met online. We matched 99% on OkCupid. But
oh my gosh.
I mean, right off the bat, we both agreed, or we both confessed that we did full research on each other as soon as we exchanged phone numbers. And like, and that's what you do now. And there's no way that I could murder my wife. Well, first of all, I like her very much, but there's no way that I could murder my wife and go start another family. And people would be like, oh, that's not Dylan Polniak. That's some guy with a mustache. Yeah.
That's not the guy who has the whole podcast that yeah, he releases every exactly. week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be so yes. hard to do. I'm not trying to do it.
It would be so hard.
But yeah.
Obviously. I get it. I totally feel you on that. But yeah, that's what I was saying before. Like, it just doesn't seem... I mean, I guess people do get away with it, but with everything that they have now... And I love my husband very much also. So yeah, mm-hmm. I don't have a reason to do that, nor do I want to do that. So everyone Good. Should know, just reiterating, I'm not a murderer. I mm-hmm. just am interested in human psychology, I guess.
Yeah. You're interested in other people murdering other people. Mm-hmm. Murder yourself. That's not for you. No.
That's
other people.
Me,
no. Other people no. can fill that void for you.
Other people, that's your thing. Keep it up. I'm watching.
I learned
no,
how to
don't.
Kill him through television.
Oh, God.
Gotta love that.
You gotta love a little girl who can wield a knife because of television.
Mm-hmm. I've got one last little bit of true crime, and I think this is the biggest part of true crime that we dealt with in all mm-hmm. of the pandemic in the last 2 years, and that is the Tiger King. Did you watch Tiger King?
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think, did we not all? I mean, there's a Tiger King yeah. 2 coming out, but do we think it's going to be as captivating because we're not all stuck inside?
Well,
I guess it was pretty captivating.
Yeah, I think this, the new one is going to be probably a bigger hit than the first one because so many people watched it and were like, that goddamn yeah. Carol Baskins. It was Carol Baskins. She did all of this. So now through that, we do have these, you know, what was it? You called them like armchair detectives or whatever.
We've I don't know if that's
everyone diving into this. Everyone is going to where these zoos are and finding little things that they can. And
or know, are they?
I think so. I would assume so. I bet people were like, oh, I got to catch this. I got to catch this Carol Baskin.
That's true. They probably were. I had my big problem with that whole series, though, was that nobody was really being like, we should really help these cats, like, get out of this mm-hmm. situation. Like, the whole story, his whole story eclipsed the fact that, like, these cats are really being probably mistreated in most of these situations, especially that guy who had like the harem of women.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the other guy? Like
the guy with the little goatee, that guy?
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, they're up, you know, up the hill. There's where my Spanish woman lives. And you're like, what the fuck? What is going on here? That was such a wonderful thing that happened at the beginning of pandemic.
Yeah, amid true crime brought us all together. But I want to say that like I want to give the good people from that show the benefit of the doubt of like they learn this stuff later. That this like the mistreatment of the cats and everything like later and that. By the time that it was like such a big deal that it was like they're already in the point where they know that homeboy's like going to prison and like everything's already in play and it doesn't matter if they're like, hey, go save the cats because the cats, you know, in the end were saved except the ones that Joe Exotic shot in the head. But
right. Yeah.
I mean, there were some good people in there and I hope they're doing well.
I really don't remember those people. That they were eclipsed by the bad ones, unfortunately.
Well, there was the tiger trainer. He just got killed in New York City like a month ago, I want to say.
No way. I don't know who you're talking. I didn't know this. This is news to me.
He was one of the guys. He had long hair.
Okay.
I was doing a quick Google and then John List came back up. But there was one of the tiger trainers who he seemed like a nice guy through the entire show. He just died. Yeah. They found him in New York City face down in his bed in his hotel room.
Oh, no.
So,
oh, no. Oh, yeah. Do we think it was foul play?
I think so. I think he was one of the guys who was testifying against our boy Joe. He's not really our boy.
Gosh.
We hate Joe Exotic because
he's
a
not
guy.
Our boy. He's not. He's like
that
sort
one's
of,
on record.
We like. Yeah. oh, my gosh. A whole new crime and mystery is afoot. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I will be logging back onto Reddit to try and see this.
Yeah, I'm writing that down so I can send you the link after the episode. But we are going to take a quick break. When we return, Erica's got a drinking story for us. And we can find out where to find her on social media. We'll be right back. If you've made it this far into the episode, it's safe to assume you're enjoying the show. You can support this podcast by picking up some merch over at shop.strictorpictures.com. Please like, comment, subscribe, and check out some of the other content we've created on this channel. Thanks. We are back, and it's time to dive into drinking a little bit more. So you had a drinking story that you wanted to share. Let's hear it.
Yeah, it's more of a weed story, but it does involve vomiting, which happens sometimes when you drink so much. But it was my 26th birthday, and I had decided to do bowling. Mm-hmm. For my birthday, because I'm a nerd like that. And at the Chateau Lanes, have you ever been there?
One
is in Koreatown. Okay. I don't even know. It probably doesn't even exist anymore. Who knows? But 26th birthday, I went to pregame with a couple of my friends, and we were drinking and whatnot. And I don't know if it was the drinking or the combination, but my friend also gave me a Jolly Rancher edible. And I was not aware how strong and how not well managed the THC in those things are. Mm-hmm. So I ate the whole thing. And then as we were driving, and then drank more. And then as we were driving to the Chateau Lanes, I just started getting in my head very, very paranoid. Like, just, I don't know. I remember thinking about Nixon and just like my brain went all over the place. I was like, I'm a liar, like Nixon. And like, what am I doing? All these friends are coming. And then it was not time to go to meet people at the Chateau Lane. So a couple of my friends had been like, oh, we're at the Sizzler across the street. And I was like, sure, let's do it. Let's go to the Sizzler. And mm-hmm. so I went to the Sizzler and was just sitting at the table with some of my other friends. And I just was told that I went totally white. And then I started to go towards the bathroom, didn't make it, and threw up, not on, but right beneath the entire salad bar at a Sizzler. The people who worked there were just like, oh, great. Thanks. Thank you for doing that. And then I went to bowling and I just sat there and everyone was like, are you okay? You want to bowl? And I was like, you know, I'm having a great time, but I couldn't bowl.
I know how to kill people.
I know how to kill people. Yeah, that was probably like one of my saddest birthdays, but it's just ingrained in my mind to, hey, don't do Jolly Rancher edibles mm-hmm. specifically. And don't do them with alcohol. And just don't trust your friends. Like, do not trust them when they're just like, on your birthday especially.
Yeah.
When they're like, here, have another drink. Here you mm-hmm. go. Like, your friends are technically your worst enemy on those days.
For sure. I'm typically the worst one. I mean, I have a podcast where I just like to get drunk. So
you drink.
I'm the worst person to hang out with when it's like, hey, ooh, do a shot. Hey, who's going to do a shot with me? Erica Rankin, where can our viewers/listeners find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram if it ever goes back up, and Twitter, both at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, Rankin, R-A-N-K-I-N, _, because apparently there are a lot of Erica Rankins, and I didn't get to my name quick enough. So, don't forget that _. You'll see me. You'll know. Mm-hmm.
And then is your ASMR back up on YouTube, or where can we watch it? It's all
been deleted. No, we don't want to do that. Nobody. I will die if anyone ever finds that, actually.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining the show. It was super fun chatting with you. To our listeners, of course, To our viewers and listeners, follow the show on all social media platforms at HADWM. Buy all of our cool stuff at shop.hadwm.com. Listeners, subscribe on YouTube because this is an actual full video podcast. Viewers on YouTube, click the subscribe button, which is way over there. And Erica, cheers.
Cheers. Have a good one.